To speak from the Word of God. So Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to be this morning. Philippians chapter 3. And, you know, as we talk about Philippians chapter 3, one of the things that comes to mind, I want to speak to you guys on the subject of living a life on purpose. You know, the one thing that all of us in this room have in common is that we have a life to live. You know, we're very different. I look out of this room and I see a very diverse group of people, everybody's a little bit different, but the one thing that I know is that Christ has given us a life to live. The fact that you woke up this morning, somebody said it, I'm on the green side of the grass, you know, and that is so true, and that is in and of itself is a blessing from God. And I think sometimes the reality is we take advantage of that. You know, we take advantage of the gift and the blessing of another day of life and what that means. And I don't think that we mean to. You know, I don't think it's intentional. I don't think we wake up and, you know, and say, God, I refuse to thank you for this new day of life that you give us. I just think that we kind of get caught up in the busyness of life, and we get caught up in our jobs and our, you know, and all the things that we have to do, whatever that may be, and we kind of lose sight of the purpose that God has called us for. And so that's why these messages that God brings us, that God has brought to me, and that I have the privilege and the honor of bringing to you this morning, these are a reminder for us, or for just that, to live a life on purpose. And so as we do that, I'd like to just go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to be with us this morning. Father God, we just thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for this amazing time of worship this morning as we have worshiped in song. Father, that we have worshiped in the spirit and truth. And Father, I pray that we will continue that with a heart of commitment to you, a heart of love for your word, a heart of, Father, that we want to take from you the living words of life and apply them to our lives. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning, Lord. I pray that you would allow us to hear. I pray that your spirit would be amongst us and on top of us, Lord, so that we can hear and understand the very words of truth. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time we have to come into your house. And we ask and pray all these things in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
So Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, we're going to read verses 12 through 16. And this is one of my favorite passages. My wife says, you say that about every passage, but this really is one of my favorite passages. It's a great one, but Philippians chapter 3, verses 12, and this is Paul speaking, and he has a word for the church. In verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also that to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And so there's three things that kind of jump out at me whenever I read this passage right here, especially in regards to living a life on purpose. The first thing I see here is that we are not perfect.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We are not perfect, but we can live a life on purpose. If you look again at verse 12, it says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You know, somebody said it this morning. They said that Paul, he was a real superhero. You know, I look at Paul and, you know, he was a prolific writer. He's the most prolific writer of the New Testament. He was an amazing man who gave his life to Christ fully. He is an amazing man who had a story to tell. He had an amazing story. It's a story that often many of us reference, that, you know, the road to Damascus and his Damascus road conversion. And in all of this, you know, we see Paul, who for many people can and should be someone to look up to and to imitate. He even mentions that later on in Scripture. And in the midst of all that, though, he also says in verse 12, not that I have already attained this or that I am perfect. He recognizes that even though that he might be a man that is following hard after God, that he is loving God with everything that he has and all that he has, he still recognizes that he has not attained it fully, that he is not there yet. And so he acknowledged that he was not perfect, but, and this is the amazing thing about Paul, he did not use that as an excuse to sin. Amen?
That's right.
I mean, here's the thing. I hear people say this all the time. They say, well, you know, I'm not perfect. And oftentimes, whenever I hear people say, I'm not perfect, what they're really saying is, they're really saying that as an excuse to continue to sin. You know, well, I know that I struggle with alcohol, but I'm not perfect. You know, as if it's okay to continue in sin just because we are not perfect. But that is not what Paul is saying here. As a matter of fact, Paul, he says this, I love this in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, he was pointing out, he says, no matter how great your sin is, no matter how covered, you know, and if you think about it, all of us are just covered in sin. He says, no matter how great in sin that you are, because I've heard people that come to me before and said, Michael, I can't come to Christ. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've, you don't know the sins that I've committed and the things that I've done, the past and what's in my past. And you know what Christ says to that? He says, none of your sins are greater than my love for you. That's nothing right. You can do can separate nothing. And so this great love, no matter how great your sin is, grace abounds even more. But here's the problem. People would begin to take that and say, well, if God's grace abounds even more, then what does it matter if I sin? If I sin, then His grace is just going to cover it. And that's what Paul is addressing in Romans chapter 6. He says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And I love this. He says, and this is the most powerful way to say it in Scripture. He says, by no means, no. I mean, this is the most powerful way to say, no, just because we are sinners, that is not an excuse to continue on in sin. We cannot use the excuse, I'm not perfect, as an excuse to go on living in sin. Here's the thing, I am not perfect is a fact. Amen?
Amen.
But it's not an excuse. Amen. And so that's the first thing he goes on to see here. And the second thing, I love this, in verse 12 it says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Amen. I love that. This righteousness that Paul is striving for and living for and chasing after, this righteousness that he says, I know I've not already obtained, but I'm striving for it. I know I've not made it my own, but I'm going to make it my own because Christ has made me His own. He recognizes the truth of God's Word that he can only do this with Christ.
That's right.
I am not perfect, but with Christ I can strive for righteousness. I want to, and I love this, I want to be righteous because He has made me His own. That's what Paul is saying here. I want to be righteous. I want to serve after God. You know, I sometimes tell people, people that are struggling and coming to know Christ, and they have all these reasons and all these excuses for coming to know Christ. And what we have to realize is it's just the depravity that's in our lives. You know, it's the thing. You know, I came to Christ when I was 6 years old. I was a very young person, but even I can look back and realize that I was lost and far separated from God. It's very easy to think, oh, this precious child, you know, they're let me just tell you, if any of you have kids, you know, you're a little child. Amen. That's right. You know, here's the amazing thing I've learned about my children is, you know, when they were born, all the way from a very early age, I did not have to teach them to do wrong. You know, they were born just knowing how to do wrong. I mean, from the day they were born, they knew what I've had to spend my life and their lives teaching them is how to do right. And how to lead them and follow the Lord so that they will follow me as I follow Christ. And so, in this amazing picture that we have here that Paul is painting for us, that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, I want to be righteous because He has made me His own. So the second thing I want you guys to see here is that we must leave our past in the past. If we're going to live a life that is on purpose, if we're going to live a life that's full of purpose, we must leave our past in the past. Read with me in verse 13. It says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what lies ahead. This is Paul, and I love this because here's the thing. Sometimes we read this passage and we kind of misunderstand and we misconstrue this, okay? Most of us, when we read this passage, we see this and we say, you know, okay, I agree, we need to forget what lies behind, we need to strive for what lies ahead. So I need to forget my sinful past and I need to strive. Well, here's the thing we have to understand. That's not all that Paul is talking about here. He didn't say, I want you to leave your sinful past in the past and strive for what lies ahead. He says, I want you to leave and forget everything that lies behind and move forward and strain forward. Forget anything and everything that's behind you and move forward. You know, there's another place in Scripture where he talks about this. He says the sin, but he also talks about the weight that so easily encumbers us. You know, it's not just the sin that we should leave behind. It's anything that can be construed as a weight that can hold us down or keep us back from straining forward and striving ahead. You know, it's as if I were to put on, some running shorts and an outfit, and which I kind of need to do, you know. And if I were to do all that and get ready to go run, and then I were to take a 50-pound backpack and put it on my back, you know, and put some weights on my ankles and go running. It's crazy. The only people that do that are military people, and they're crazy. You know? The reality is, you know, and that's just because they're told to do it, you know. But here's the thing. We have to take those weights off if we're going to run the race. If we're going to strain for what lies ahead, we have to leave everything behind, all of it. You know, I hear this phrase quite often, and I'm sure you've said it before, you know. I just wish for the good old days. Amen. I just wish for the good old days. And don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen, I get it. I agree wholeheartedly with Pastor David as he said that, you know, our country just seems to be falling apart and flailing, you know. And it's very easy for us. It's very easy for us to look back at the good old days and wish for those days, you know, and to wish. But and there's two very important things to remember when we think about the good old days, and we wish and we want and we pine for the good old days. The first thing is this: the good old days are not all that great. I don't know about you guys, but and you know, I'm a good bit younger than some of you folks, but you know, but I grew up in a house without air conditioning.
That's right.
Some of you guys grew up in a house without air conditioning, but you also grew up in a house without indoor plumbing. Right? Do you guys really want to go back to the good old days? You know, going outside to do your business? That, you know, so, and the second thing I want you guys to see here is that sometimes, you know, what we don't realize is there was just as much sin in Paul's day as there is in this day. Do you think it was any better back then than it is now? It's not. This world is full of sin. This world is depraved and is caught. And don't get me wrong, it looks bad because I think sometimes we look so much and we pine for the good old days instead of realizing that God is quickening this world. He is readying this world for His return. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. But the reality is, looking back and pining for the old days is exactly what Paul is talking against here. Not just leaving your sinful past in the past, but also our kind of inborn desire to go back to the good old days. We have to leave that behind. That's and right. Strain forward for what lies ahead. Because what we end up doing is this is my pet peeve, right? When I was in school, but even now, like, and I see my boys doing it sometimes, and it drives me crazy. But you know, they'll be walking forward and they look back and they're talking to their brother and they're just talking and talking, and then all of a sudden, you know, you just trip and stumble. You cannot move forward when you're looking back.
That's right.
If you do, you will stumble. You have got to look forward and walk forward. That is how you strain for what lies ahead. You That's must right. leave the past. In the past, as good as it may have been, and some memories that we may have, that's what memories are for. You can have memories while you're moving forward. That is what God has called us to do. We must leave our past in the past. You know, whenever I was growing up, my dad was in the military. You know, he's a retired Air Force, and very thankful for his service. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't really understand how all that worked, you know, but just, I'm very proud of him and all of our veterans that served, and in whatever capacity you may have served. Thank you for that. And you know, but it's a tough life. You know, it's, you move around a lot. It's hard to keep friends and that sort of thing. But I remember I had my 9th birthday a week after we moved to England. And don't get me wrong, England was one of the coolest experiences of our life. It was great. It was a great 2.5 years we spent there. And I met some friends, but there was one of the most amazing things is we got in the car and we drove all over that country. It was amazing. We got to see castles and we got to see courtyards and we got to see just so many things. And there, you know, the country is just full of amazing things to see. And so I swear we must have seen every single castle in England, you know. And here's another thing that we saw. There were a lot of them in England, and they're all over Europe, as cathedrals, right? Churches and cathedrals. We must have went to every abbey and every church of the Anglican church and every cathedral that was there. And you know, one thing that I didn't really think about when I was 9 and 10 years old, but I have thought about since then, is how many of those churches, as we visited them, they were beautiful, beautiful monasteries. And they were these huge, just monolithic buildings. And they were just as dead as a doornail.
That's right.
If any of them had services on Sunday morning, which many of them did not, the ones that did have services were these magnificent buildings with five people in attendance. It was truly sad to see. I remember one day going to one of the services. We were traveling over the weekend, and we actually visited one of those services, and it was open for church, you know, on Sunday. And so we got to actually go and participate in the service. And it was the saddest funeral dirge of a service that I have ever seen. It was a dying, if not dead, church. I really believe that they were dead and didn't know it. You know, and here's my point. They were so proud of this monolithic building and everything that had happened in the past, and they really had gotten to this point where they had sat on their laurels and were resting on the shoulders of those who had lifted them up in history and not doing anything themselves, and they were dying. So many of those churches dead and didn't even know it. We have got to leave the past and the past and strive for what lies ahead. We Amen. Must. And so the third thing I want you guys to see here, and this is the truth, you guys, we must reach ahead. Amen? Amen. In verse 14 it says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. And then in verse 16 it says, only let us hold true to what we have attained. We must reach ahead. I love this. He says, I press on towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, this is the thing that ultimately I think what Paul is saying. He's saying to us this morning, even he says, I am not through with you yet. God is not through with you yet. You still have more to do, but you must strive. You must reach forward. You must reach forward to attain this. I mean, here's the thing that I see far too often in the Christian life. God has so much more planned for us. You know, the promise is that He has come that we may have life and live it abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
But here's the reality is we've got to go out and seek that life that He's offering to us. Just as Pastor David just said down here, these coupons that we have, this gift that we have, we must redeem it. This life that He has given us, we must redeem this life. It's our responsibility to go out and live a life that's worthy of the gospel. We must strain to reach forward, and there must be a great intentionality for it. That's ultimately what this passage is saying. I press on towards the goal. And why? Because here's the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And sometimes the desire for us is to think, well, what He's talking about here is heaven. No, that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about right here on earth, right now, we have an opportunity to strive and reach forward for this life, this abundant life that God has given to us now. So many people sit on my couch in my office and in a place of counseling, and they're just depressed and they're distraught and they're torn down. And so often I see what it is that they're not living a life for Jesus. They're not living a life that's worthy of the gospel. They're living a life for themselves. They're consumed with their own desires and their own needs, and consumed with fear about their job and their future, and consumed about all these other things instead of consumed with Christ. They're living a very unabundant life. And that is not what God promised us. But here's the thing, you guys. Jesus is a gentleman. If you want to go out and live that life, He's going to let you. It's up to you to go out and strive. What does it say again? Press on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here's the reality that I'm convinced of. God is not through with us. Amen?
Amen.
He's not through with us as individuals. He's not through with us as families. He's not through with us as a church. God has more in store for us, but we must be willing to strive, to reach forward, to attain that. We must be willing to work for Him, to live a life on purpose. If we're not, then it's not going to happen. We're going to sit here as a church. We're going to sit here as families. We're going to sit here as individuals, and we're going to languish in apathy. And that is not where we need to be. That is not what God made us to do. So I want to close with this thought. Let me just ask you guys, if I were to ask you to take down a pen and paper, and maybe some of you guys have a pen and paper out there, and I were to ask you to write down three life-changing events that have happened this year, last 6 months, If you were to write down three life-changing events that have happened this year, think about it for just a moment. You don't have to write it down, but you think about three life-changing moments that have happened just this last year. It doesn't have to be huge things. You know, little small things can change your life. That little pink stripe on that little stick, you know, that can change your life. It's a little small thing, you know, but it'll change your life. So the question is, how many of those life-changing events are something that you plan for? How many of any of most of our life-changing events are something that we planned for? You know, here's the reality. Maybe some of you guys are thinking of life-changing events that are positive. Like maybe your daughter got pregnant and they're about to have a baby. You know, that's a life-changing event. Or maybe it was the loss of a family member that has devastated your family. You know, maybe it's something that's not positive, but it's still impacted and changed your life. But the reality is most of the things that happen that are life-changing events in our lives, we don't have anything to do with. We have very little to do with that. And so the reality is we have to ask ourselves the question, if you found out that you were going to die in the next 6 months, before December was over, and you knew that you were going to die, what would you do about it? How many things could you write down that would be life-changing, that you would live a life? I mean, this is the interesting thing to me, is I hear these stories all the time of people that find out they have cancer or some other disease or some other illness that's terminal, that's going to end their life. And they know, maybe they don't know the day, but they know that time is truly, truly short. You know what happens to those people almost always? Man, they get busy living their life. They get busy getting right with God. They get busy getting right with their family. They get busy getting right. Why do we have to stare death in the face in order to live a life on purpose? Why do we have to be in that place? The truth is we don't. But what we do have to do is we have to remind ourselves this morning, we have to remember what God has in store for us. We have to remember what God wants for us. And so I want to close with this passage. I love this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11, and we're going to read through 13. It says, "Therefore remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh." Remember. This is probably the most important thing that we need to know this morning in order to live a life on purpose. And we need to remember that we were once Gentiles living in the flesh. And look at verse 12. It says, remember, there it is again, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise. I love that. Covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. And look with me in verse 13. It says, But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. If we're going to live a life on purpose, we have got to remember that we were once far off and that God has brought us near because of Christ. And the thing is, far too often, we know that and we actually very smugly look at the rest of the world, and instead of our hearts breaking for a lost and dying world, we smugly look at the world and say, oh, well, look at that. Amen. Look at her. Look at him. Look at what they're doing. Instead of our hearts breaking, instead of us remembering that we were once just like they were, Gentiles in the flesh, far, far away from God.
Amen.
Instead of remembering that now we've been brought near, and we've been brought near by the blood of Christ.
That's right.
Guys, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, we must remember not the good old days. We must remember the bad old days. We must remember that we were once far from Christ, but now He has brought us close by the blood of Christ. And we must pray pray for those that don't know Jesus. We must care about those people. Those people that you see, they're living in sin. Go up to them instead of casting your finger in your face, whether you're doing it physically or whether you're doing it emotionally and internally. Instead of doing that, love on them. Speak to them. Care about them. Build relationships. Somebody said this morning, it's about continuing to build relationships, right? The psalmist says, it's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. And it's our kindness that will point the way to Christ.
That's right.
We must remember what God has called us to do. And so I want to close with a word of prayer and just have maybe one last time just to speak. But, you know, here's the thing. One thing I'm certain of, I'm pretty sure that most everybody in this room probably knows Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I sure hope you do. But if you don't, it doesn't matter if you do know Jesus or you don't know Jesus. This is the thing. It's far too often what we do is we say, well, I'm good. I know Jesus, you know, and so I don't have to respond to Christ this morning. But I want to encourage you this morning that we have business to do with God this morning. We have a need and desire to respond to Him in these next few moments of prayer and as we close out. And even as we go into this time of Sunday school and as you go this day, I mean, some of you guys are going to go out to dinner and eat. You know, have you ever considered this? Just asking, just telling your server, your waitress or waiter, and say, young lady, we're about to pray for our meal. Is there anything that I can pray for you for? Is there anything on your mind or in your heart that we can lift up to God for you? You know, this woman or this man, they're probably serving, and maybe they know and love Jesus, and they just have to work on Sunday because that's how they put food in their kids' mouths. Or maybe they don't. You know, maybe they don't know Jesus at all, but the reality is we have an opportunity to lead people to Christ just in that small way. We're already going to ask the blessing for our food, right?
Amen.
So let's use that as an opportunity. And let's use every moment that we have to remember where we came from and where God has taken us to. And let's try to grab as many people as we can while we're on our way on the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. We thank you for this amazing time to worship you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the worship this morning, Lord. And Father, we thank you for this time this morning where we can hear the words of truth. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder of who you are and the amazing work and the miracle of life that you performed in us. So, Father, I pray that you would bless this time, that you would bless this day, that you would bless us as we bless your name. And we ask and pray all these things in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Go with me to number 285. 285. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever wherever
good to be in God's house. Amen. When I was graduating high school, dating myself now, our prom song was "We Will Never Pass This Way Again." Some of you may know that song, some of you may not. But every day is a gift from God.
Amen.
And you'll never pass that way again. God will send people your way. You need to share Christ with the ones that you send your way. You know, I've done that, what he mentioned, many times at restaurants. Ask the waiter or waitress, "May I pray for you?" And I've never had one say no. They always said we would be glad to. I've actually had some stand there with us while we pray. That makes a difference. Make a difference where you go. I'm going to ask my brother, Tony Scott, if you would close us with a word of prayer.
First,